The morning sun awakens the city of Augustus, Illinois. At the Bennett home in the kitchen, Miranda brings a cup of coffee to Jonah and then sits next to him at the breakfast nook.
Honey, you don't have to stay with me. I'll be fine. Plus, I'm sure Isaac...
Isaac is back home safe after his arrest. Besides, I can work my other cases from home today. And your aide is not going to be able to work today due to her grandmother's illness.
I forgot. On a brighter side, at least you still have some perks to being the boss.
Jonah and Miranda silently sip their coffees. However, the sound of silence becomes almost deafening.
So, are we going to talk about Donovan shooting?
We can. What do you want to talk about concerning the shooting?
Well...
Wait a minute. Is this some sort of Detective Reynolds-ish interrogation? Jonah, do you think I actually did it? Do you think I've been lying to you this whole time?
Well, I...
And what about you? Should I be questioning you? Because I did not do it. And I don't think you did either. And we have been through this before. When we helped one another, we questioned each other. And we chose to believe one another, Jonah.
Miranda, he is the man who almost set this house on fire. And not to mention the fact that he vandalized your car. And you were on his hit list, considering the fact that you came to your senses over that whole kidnapping plot.
You were on his hit list, too. And it's just a car, Jonah. Yes, I hate the man. But I'm not going to enact revenge on the basis of him bashing in the windows of my vehicle. Yes, I was there that night. Yes, I threatened him with my gun. But you did the same things I did. Jonah, I did not shoot him. I swear to you. I would never risk my practice like that, or risk going to prison for that matter. And if I'm being honest, I've had to take ownership for my part in the whole Donovan thing.
You didn't vandalize your own car. And you did just tell me that you were not the one who shot him.
All of that is true. I did let my blind jealousy for Stephanie get in the way. And I did conspire with him for that kidnapping plot. That is the only thing I am guilty of.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Let me get you another cup. And then we need to get to work on syncing up our stories. We've got to get our alibis tied down, especially now, considering Detective Reynolds found our guns.
Miranda stands, grabs Jonah's cup as Jonah takes a deep breath. As he does, however, a look of shock falls upon his face. To his amazement, Jonah begins to see a dark silhouette of Miranda right in front of him. At the Harper Mansion in the foyer. Upon the door opening, Stephen enters the home with Melanie by his side.
Home sweet home? At least for right now?
Oh, yes. Isn't it ironic how I've been running from this place for most of my life? And now it's the place where my sister has graciously decided to let me recover. Even after all of the heartache I've caused her.
Elaine makes her entrance into the foyer as she comes down the grand staircase. Melanie and Elaine look at one another for a moment and then hug. As they hug, Stephen walks over to the door to pick up he and Melanie's luggage.
Stephen, there's no need for you to do that. I can get Gwendolyn to carry your things to your room.
I'm sure Gwendolyn has better things to do.
You're not wrong about that. Not that your bags aren't important, but if you insist on taking care of them, Melanie's room with you will be up the stairs and to your left. The second door on the left, to be exact. Thank you for agreeing to stay in the room till the guest house is remodeled.
Melanie nods as Stephen takes the bags and begins to walk towards the stairs. Melanie steadies herself on Elaine's arm as they walk towards the kitchen. At the magnifier in Isaac's office, Isaac enters the office carrying his briefcase. Isaac then goes to his desk and sits down for a moment when Stephanie suddenly enters the room.
Oh, Isaac! I am so happy that you're out of that jail cell. I've been trying to get in touch with Miranda, but she hasn't gotten back to me. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but it looks like you could use a deep breath. I suggest you take that breath and also take a seat.
Before Stephanie can take a seat, Leslie suddenly barges into the office.
Oh, Dad! I called your assistant and she told me everything. Stephanie? What the hell are you doing here?
Trust me, you're no prize to see either, Leslie.
All right, you two.
I got this, Isaac. Leslie, your dad and I happen to be very close friends after all this time, believe it or not. And I was heavily involved in making sure he was okay as he was brought in for questioning about Donovan's shooting. But I can see that though you snatched up control of my magazine, it must kill you to see that you don't have control over everything.
Me wanting to be here for my father's well-being and controlling someone are two different things. But I don't expect you to honestly know what caring for somebody but yourself is like. And the only reason my father was caught up in getting questioned was because for some mystical reason, he has stood by your stories about this big bad Donovan Aldridge for far too long. You continue to ruin his life time and time again.
You know absolutely nothing about me or what I've been through. So unless you don't want me to slap you into next year, then keep your mouth shut about me. Because to tell you the truth, Princess Leslie, I am so over what you have against me.
Look, honey, I appreciate you coming to see me. And I'm fine, but both of you need to stop this. Now, back to the more pressing matters. I was there the night Donovan was shot. I was, but I did not shoot him. And at the moment, that is all you need to know. Now, I must be getting back to my conversation with Stephanie. It's important that I do.
Are you really choosing this tramp over me?
For God's sakes, Leslie, enough. Your father and I are close, end of story. And we also have business to discuss, private business.
Oh, really? What business do you need to discuss with my father? Dad, please tell me you did not hire her back here.
I'm not hiring her, Leslie.
Good.
I wouldn't get too far ahead of yourself. Your father and I aren't Alex, so you don't need to assume we're doing things to hurt you.
Just tell me what's going on here.
You know what? I was going to try and play nice. I was going to try and not fill you in on my business with your father. But I guess we should tell you. Leslie, your father does not need to hire me, considering we are equal partners nowadays.
Excuse me? Partners? What kind of equal partners? What?
Stephanie now owns half of the magnifier.
At the Tasty Bean Cafe in the main area, Mark enters and goes to the front counter.
Online order for Mark Hastings.
A barista nods and hands Mark his order. He then turns around after grabbing the to-go cup of coffee. As he does turn around, he instantly spots Colin at a nearby table. As he rolls his eyes and begins to walk away, Colin looks up from his table.
Wow, you must have a hookup.
Mark stops in his tracks and turns his attention back to Colin.
Pardon?
I've seen people who have lived here for years who still have to wait in line for at least 5 minutes before they get their order, regardless of it being placed through the app.
I guess you could say I do have a hookup. The barista who's working right now is actually a friend of mine. By the way, aren't you Colin Harper?
I am. And you are?
Mark. Mark Hastings.
Oh, you must be from the Hastings family that moved here a few months ago.
I am, yes.
Your family's advertising firm is about to give me quite the competition, I bet. Is that why you guys moved your headquarters here?
I guess you could say that. All joking aside, we actually heard about how much the advertising scene here in Augustus has been heightened lately. I guess that's thanks to your advertising firm.
To some degree, I guess that's true. Look, why don't you sit down? You and I can talk some shop.
Sounds good to me. I don't have to be back at the office for a while.
At Danielle's loft in the living room, Danielle walks into the room wearing a bathrobe.
Just a sec! Alex!
Hey, you. Hope this isn't a bad time. I figured we could have some breakfast together before you went about your workday.
You know, I really should be getting dressed.
Why? You don't have to look all put together just for me.
Okay. Thank you for bringing me breakfast, by the way.
Anytime.
Danielle and Alex sit on the couch as Alex begins unpacking a to-go bag. Danielle then grabs a latte from a cup holder.
I just can't help but wonder if this is all a ruse, though.
Oh?
Alex, this whole town knows what went down with Isaac being arrested in order to be questioned about the night of Donovan's shooting. And we both know that I have to write a story about it. Also, I have some connections at the police station. Therefore, I know that his gun was also found the same time that your father's and your mother's gun were found as well.
Danielle, I don't expect you to not report on Donovan's shooting.
I know that. But I bet you're going to ask me not to mention your mom or dad, even though they're both prime suspects. Alex, I know what I put your sister through in the past. I did the right thing then. However, I didn't take Scott's bait. And I did not think it was my place to out your sister and Caitlin. But it is my place to report on why Isaac was arrested. And I can't do that without mentioning the connections he shares to your parents.
Danielle, what if I begged you to not mention my parents in your article? Is that something you'd consider?
I guess I should be asking you what would happen to us if I did include your parents in the article, even after you potentially begged me not to do such a thing.
Back on the Harper estate up at the main house, Elaine and Melanie sit down across from one another on lawn furniture that is underneath a gazebo.
You know, I absolutely love this time of year. It's as though I can be at peace out here, you know, and have all my troubles simply fade away for a few minutes.
I always thought this time of year was so sporadic. One moment it's snowing, and the next, the sun is shining as bright as can be, and it's the warmest day of the earliest part of the year.
Oh, hey, on a side note, I'm really happy to see that you've been recovering so well. But I have to ask you, how have you been doing when it comes to Donovan's shooting? I know you two used to date, and, well, that he even went after you at one point.
Oh, I wish we were still talking about the weather.
Melanie.
I know that I have to get these feelings out. Lainey, I find the whole shooting thing to actually be quite awful. But during my recovery from that car accident, I had so much to focus on that I really didn't even think about Donovan. I will tell you that I've never felt closure from that situation. And all that he put me through, oh, I guess I should go and see him.
I'm still on the board at the hospital. I can get you in to see him. We could even go to see him tomorrow after your memory appointment if you'd like.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Anyway, there is a question that I'd like to ask you. I've been filled in on what's been going on with Gunner, and I must ask you how you're doing now. How do you feel about him still being God knows where in this world?
At Memorial Hospital over by the nurse's station, Christopher is standing over by the front desk looking down at a human resources relationship form which has a deadline of 2 days from now stamped on the top of it. Suddenly, Olivia walks up to him and he hurriedly shoves the file into a patient's chart.
Hey, you.
Hey.
What's going on?
Nothing much.
Are you sure? You look like something's on your mind right now.
Nothing at all. Hey, you want to go try that new Chinese restaurant with me after work?
You bet.
I know how much you like Crab Rangoon, and this place supposedly has a great version of it.
Now you have me excited. But I'm not letting you off the hook for that facial expression you had when I walked over here. Why'd you look so upset?
You know me all too well. Liv, I'm freaked out a little by that HR deadline thing. Hasn't it been kind of weighing on your mind, too? I'd be surprised if you told me that it wasn't.
I thought about it, yes, but I'm not freaked out about it. Chris, are you sure that's all that's bothering you? I mean, are you more worried about the HR deadline or about defining our relationship beyond what it's been thus far?
Before Christopher can answer, Detective Beau Reynolds walks up to them, having come from the elevator.
My apologies, I didn't mean to startle the two of you.
No worries, Detective.
What brings you by?
I need someone to help me get into Donovan Aldridge's room.
Of course. I have to complete my rounds, but Nurse Bookman can show you to Mr. Aldridge's room. And we will finish our conversation later.
Come on, Detective. I'll show you to Donovan's room.
Back at the Tasty Bean Cafe in the main area.
Breaking the client list in town has definitely had its challenges.
For the longest time, I was the only game in town. So I'm low-key gonna apologize for your family's hardships in trying to snag clients.
Thanks. But just between you and me, all hope is not lost. We did manage to score Peter Ortiz.
Peter Ortiz? The Republican senator? Wow, he's actually challenging my client, Jonah Bennett, for a huge communications position in D.C. It's a publicly voted on position, and candidates are kind of required to build up an advertising profile.
Well, may the best man for the job win.
I guess you could say that, but the best advertising firm will win, in my opinion.
Game on, Harper. But at least our client isn't a suspect in a shooting at the moment. Oh, would you look at the time? I have to get back to the office. Honestly, good luck, though.
You too, Mark.
Mark collects his to-go cup of coffee and leaves. Colin sits staring on at Mark. He's trying his best to process what Mark just told him about Jonah.
Jonah was involved in the shooting? How the hell am I going to work through this obstacle? Yes. Hi. Oh, Natasha. It's so good to hear from you. What do you got for me?
In Montreal, Canada, at Gunnar and Emma's home, Gunnar is sitting on the couch reading the newspaper when Emma enters the room. She then sits next to him.
Hello, darling. Have you eaten yet? I mean, it's almost lunchtime.
Thanks for checking in, but I did have a big breakfast this morning. How'd you sleep?
No, not too well, if I'm being honest.
That's too bad. I did notice that you were tossing and turning in your sleep last night. Everything okay?
Well, the other day...
Emma? Honey? Is everything okay?
Yes. I just had a nightmare last night, and Andrew was in it.
Aw, come here.
Emma leans on Gunnar's shoulder as he kisses her forehead.
I promise you, Andrew was harmless. And besides, he's not going to be around for a few days. He's out of town on business.
That does make me feel a little bit better. But lately, when I'm around him, I've felt more like a prisoner than anything.
What do you mean?
Gunnar, the internet and this perfect house he said you two bought for us barely works. And when it does, it's highly restricted for some odd reason. And then there's my accident. Okay, I've been told very little information. All I know is that the day of our wedding, there was something wrong with the engine in our limousine, some sort of car defect, and it exploded. And I was told that Andrew saved me, and I've been told that you wanted to get us away from the town that we used to live in so we could start fresh. And I have been told that Andrew came with us for a job opportunity, but I still have so many questions.
I know you do. And I know that you lay awake at night pondering those questions. But Emma, do you really think Andrew is controlling our internet? I'll tell you what. I'll call the provider myself and make sure we finally get a tech over here.
Thank you. While you cuss out some robotic operator, I'm going to head into town and go to the grocery store. I want to plan a little special dinner for us since we're finally going to have some much-needed alone time.
Okay. I put $500 in your bank account last night, so you can just use the same debit card I already gave you.
All right. I'll see you later, my love.
Bye, dear.
Emma stands up, grabs her purse, and then exits the room. Back at the Harper Mansion in the kitchen, Colin enters the kitchen.
Mom! Are you home?
Colin then sees Elaine through the window that overlooks the backyard. He then makes his way to the back door.
Oh, Mom, I'm glad you... Melanie.
Colin! Hi. How are you?
I have a lot going on. You're looking well.
Getting there, I suppose.
Colin, you're looking awfully excited about something. What's going on?
I'm glad you asked. Natasha sent me a video just a few minutes ago. She was able to access security footage from our estate the day of the limo explosion. Mom, there was someone lurking around here the day of Emma's death. Look.
Colin retrieves his cell phone rather quickly from the breast pocket of his suit jacket. He then hands the phone to Elaine, who presses play on the security footage recording. Her calming expression quickly turns to one of shock.
Oh my goodness! How creepy. I hope security has been beefed up around here since Emma's passing. Stephen and I just moved in, so I hope with a full house that the grounds are going to be well protected.
You and Stephen have moved onto the estate? Seriously? Mom, I didn't think you were going to stick with this plan.
Of course I was going to stick with the plan. I'm just sorry I didn't tell you that today was the day. But as you mentioned earlier, there is a lot going on lately.
I guess it's okay, considering that after all this time, I can possibly get some answers as to who I really am.
Meanwhile, in Stephen and Melanie's guest bedroom, Stephen sits on the bed and dials a number on his cell phone. He then places the phone up to his ear. He lets out a sigh as the other line rings for just a brief moment.
Hey, it's me. I need you to listen, not say a word. What we did was for the greater good. And I have a feeling that in time, everything will work itself out. Or at least I hope that it will. I wanted you to know that everything is going to be just fine.
Back in Montreal, Canada, at a public library, Emma looks around and then spots a small computer lab on her right side. She then enters the lab, sits down at one of the vacant computer desks, and then logs on to the computer and goes straight for the internet.
I need to find out more about my accident. But what do I search for? My name, maybe? And perhaps what I went through?
A curious Emma then types in Emma Jensen Harper, explosion, into the search bar.
What is this?
Emma then finds an article written by Trash.com. As she clicks on the link, however, the site malfunctions and takes her back to the homepage of the website. Emma scrolls through article headline after article headline, but can't seem to find the one she initially wanted to read up on. She then locates a contact tab at the top of the site, however.
Okay, whoever this Daniel Fraser lady is, she seems to write about 10 articles a day. I'm sure she would be able to get back to me quickly if I went ahead and filled out the contact sheet.
Before Emma can write her response, however, the monitor suddenly goes blank.
No, 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 come back. No, damn. What am I supposed to do now?
This has been Forever and a Day, created by Casey S. Hutchison. Co-executive producer Casey S. Hutchison, co-executive producer Candace Mack, co-executive producer Emmy Morgan. Narrated by Casey S. Hutchison. Written by Casey S. Hutchison, Candace Mack, Emmy Morgan, and Eric Andros. Music and sound effects provided by Fesslian Studios and Soundstripe. Theme song provided by Soundstripe. This episode starred Tony D. Head as Isaac Marshall, Kalia Davis as Leslie Marshall, Christina Sullivan as Stephanie Markham, Renee Saran as Miranda Williams, Matthew Preston as Jonah Bennett, Kevin Caliber as Alex Bennett, Candace Mack as Danielle Fraser, Van Griffin as Beau Reynolds, Michael Carr as Donovan Aldridge, Emmy Morgan as Olivia Bookman, Amelia Marshall as Rhonda Jeffries, Darrell Anthony as Antoine Jeffries, Bart Blackneo as Colin Harper, Desmond Hawkins as Mark Hastings, Karen Knebel as Melanie Walters, Elizabeth Von Esser as Elaine Harper, Aaron Clark as Stephen Langenfeld, Jean Young as Emma Jensen Harper, and Brett Lawrence as Gunnar Harper. Special guest star Troy Thompson as Jesse J.J. Fraser. Join us again for an all-new episode of Forever in a Day on your favorite podcast streaming platform. This podcast was recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement.